Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She loves avocados, but won't go near a pickle. Our co-host Jessica Labby is a big fan of sea vegetables, but doesn't eat mushrooms. She's also never liked meat, unless it's bacon. Mike, our producer, loves pizza, but don't put salmon anywhere near him. Feeding these three must be interesting, but I tell you, they know their stuff. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better. You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
So I just finished a fast. You remember how I fast, you guys?
How can we forget? You talk about it every Monday.
I think it's fabulous. I've been doing this for 5 months. And what I do is after breakfast Monday, I just stop eating for 24 hours. And then starting on Tuesday, I just start eating again. And I can't believe how much more energy I have. It's helped me to maintain my weight. I've lost some weight. And I've really helped understand my relationship with food. It's been incredible. So I have so many people who've been asking me about this. I decided it was time to talk about it. And you know me, I had to go to the source. So we actually have with us today, Brad Pilon. He's a nutritional professional. He's from Greater Toronto Area. And this is the guy who actually wrote the book, Eat, Stop, Eat. It's the original book on using flexible intermittent fasting for weight loss. And I'm so excited to have him today here via Skype. Welcome, Brad.
Hey, thank you for having me.
This is so exciting. Let's start off with having you explain to our listeners just what is flexible intermittent fasting.
Okay, so flexible intermittent fasting is almost exactly what it sounds like it is. It's the concept of very brief periods of intermittent fasting. So really, we're talking about a short 24-hour window. And in that regard, it's barely a fast as much as it is simply a break from eating. So we're looking at a break from eating for 24 hours and done flexibly, so in a way that fits into your schedule. So what I'm asking people to do is, instead of, you know, taking to a hard regimented diet and fitting your life around your diet, I'm asking people to take an approach where you take a break from eating occasionally when it suits you best. And that's flexible intermittent fasting kind of wrapped up.
Yeah, I love that, because I know some people will do it every fourth day. I decided that Mondays were the best day for me, so I just do it every Monday.
Perfect.
It's great how it is easy to fit into your schedule. So I know you've always said one to 2 days per week.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, I think that for most people, just starting out, one is probably enough, just to kind of get a feel for it and to realize that it's not nearly as hard or as difficult as they may have been led to believe. And then when they get the hang of it, taking on the idea of one or two, you know, maybe it's roughly every 4 or 5 days, or every 2 to 3 days, whatever the case may be, but just in a way that's flexible and fits into your life. So if you were planning to fast on a Monday, like you do, and a really big lunch meeting came up with a really big client, the obvious thing to do would be not fast that day, fast another day. It's that kind of flexibility, right, that makes it a really good long-term solution for a lot of people.
Well, one thing I like is I know I can start anytime I want during the day. So I usually start after breakfast, but once in a while I'll start after lunch, and I just 24 hours from the time I start.
Right. And the best part about that is that you end up sleeping through the hardest part of the fast.
Yes.
That's what I would need to do.
Yeah.
I'd probably have to sleep all day. Because I would wind up eating shoes or something.
No, you know, you'd actually be surprised. I don't know what experiences you've had, but when you are fasting during the day, you actually end up being a bit more alert. So I don't know if you'd be able to sort of snooze the day away when you're fasting. But
it was big when I read that you said that working out is actually excellent during the fast. You have the best workouts ever. And I have found that. I work out with a trainer. I go to a hip hop dance class. And I'm very alert, and it helps keep my mind off food, and I don't seem to fatigue. It's great.
Yeah, it's probably better to work more when you're doing that. No? Yes?
Maybe. Yeah, well, you know what? The thing is that it's not a nice feeling to feel heavy while you're working out.
That's true.
And so for a lot of people, when they try it out, you get a little bit of extra clarity because you're not consumed with thinking about food, et cetera. And you're not full. You're not sort of just ate or thinking about what you're eating. So it just allows a bit more time to think about the workout. And then what a lot of people find is is simply that your body has energy stores. I mean, that's what our fat is, and right. we also store sugar. So being able to get through a workout, as long as you're not, you know, going out and trying to run a 10-hour marathon, is actually fairly easy. And it actually accomplishes what we're setting out to do in the first place when we work out, which is, you know, a healthy sort of movement of the body, and burning a little extra fat wouldn't hurt. So by working out when we're fasted, it kind of accomplishes everything we want to do. That being said, you don't have to work out when you're fasted with Eat Stop Eat. I do really like people to resistance train when they're fasting, but it doesn't have to be on days when you're fasting, but it doesn't have to be on days you're not fasting. Again, just sort of picking the times that are the best workouts for you is what people have the best results with.
Would you say there's a certain type of person who has the most to gain from the fasting? And is there a certain type of person who really shouldn't do it?
Yeah, the people who have the most to gain, there's two types of people. One is people who are what I like to call obsessive compulsive eaters. And they're the people who have typically start with a recreational sort of interest in nutrition. And then they might take some extra courses, and then they get really into it, and they're reading all the nutrition books, etc. And they build up a giant library of their own like rules that they have to constantly follow. So they end up living this very regimented life of, I can't eat this, I have to eat this, I can't combine this with that, I only eat, you know, my red vegetables and my blue vegetables, that sort of thing. And then, so they're doing all this self-discipline.
Is he but talking really. About me?
I think he is. Yeah.
But the problem is they don't get anywhere. And then what happens is you get frustrated because you think obviously something must be wrong with you.
Now you're talking get anywhere like about weight loss.
Yeah. So okay. Then you just keep adding on more and more rules, right? So it's people who are trying to lose weight and are being overly disciplined may benefit from fasting because it's sort of a simple break from that concept.
Sure.
The other people are people like myself who, when you first start fasting, one of the really important things to do is pay attention to when you do think you're hungry, and you begin to realize how much of your eating is actually ritual or habit.
Oh, yeah. I've noticed
so I
that.
Find that on the days I'm fasting and I'm driving around, whenever I get in my car, for some reason, I instantly want a coffee. And I don't really drink coffee in my house, but as soon as I get in my car, I want a coffee. And I noticed when I was fasting that, you know, a lot of times I didn't just buy a coffee, right? I was like, I want a coffee and a donut. So it was becoming aware of what is a lot of habits that I have that are just habit. It has nothing to do with being hungry because I literally just had breakfast and then I'll go out, grab a coffee and something else. I also noticed that I tend to eat a lot with various people. I tend to meet my father a lot for lunches and things, and I realize there's certain people who you're always expected to eat with. So if you're one of those people who is having a hard time sort of figuring out where the calories are coming from in your life,
sure.
You're another person who'd benefit from just occasionally taking a break from eating.
When you're fasting, do you ever feel like you're going to pass out?
Yeah, you know, never. I've never had that. Interesting. I just, the question kept coming up about blood sugar. And so I just rewrote a large portion of Eat Stop Eat to sort of an expanded version, covering the concept of having low blood sugar when you're fasting, and found that, in fact, it's very rare, is that our bodies are remarkably good at maintaining our blood sugar levels. The normal level of blood sugar in a normal-sized human being ends up being about 1 to 1.5 teaspoons in all of your blood, because you have about 5 liters of blood. So it's a very small amount of sugar that's very tightly regulated. So most people don't seem to have a problem with it. In fact, interestingly, the people who do have a problem with kind of feeling faint or lightheaded, or like they might become faint or lightheaded, are people who try fasting without sort of reading the book first. And I think there's a bit of an anxiety issue going along with it there.
I've noticed that I'll have moments, particularly like 3:30 to 5:30, where I can get really hungry. And I've just learned that that's the time where I keep myself busy.
Right. I also notice that, I don't know if you know the same thing as I do, but it passes very quickly.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really does.
What do you drink when you, I mean, do you just drink water when you're fasting?
I drink water, tea, black coffee.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's a texture thing, and sparkling water. You know, is what you're looking for. But
you said coffee, right? I can do it then.
Oh, black coffee, yeah.
Yeah,
black,
okay, I'm golden.
Black coffee's our friend.
Well, basically, you're saying you can have a non-caloric beverage or very,
exactly.
Very low caloric beverage.
Yeah, and you'll find also that on times when you may think you're hungry, that, you know, a glass of water or a small cup of coffee helps immensely. And it just was a feeling of wanting to be filled up a bit. So
I drink yerba mate tea all day long. That's
fantastic.
With lemon. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's just a little bit of flavor, a little bit of water. Sometimes it's the heat, and that takes care of everything.
what happens if you don't want to lose weight? I mean, will I lose a ton of weight? I'm pretty skinny and I don't want to lose weight. So if I fast, am I going to lose like 50 pounds in a week or something?
No.
Okay, so, good.
Yeah, the basic benefit for the fasting for people who don't want to lose weight is simply if you want to adjust the way you eat. So if you want to maintain the weight you're at now while having a bit more flexibility in what you're doing diet-wise, that's where fasting may come into play to help out. I mean, there are lots of health benefits that are being studied now, but above and beyond that is just adding more simplicity to your life and a better sort of give and take with your food.
I think it just really helps the weight not creep up on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I might
which
have
it can do.
Yeah, it just that doesn't happen. And even, you know, if I were to weigh myself and I gained 2 pounds over the weekend, I went out of town and then I fast on Monday and I'm right back where I should be.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's the nice thing is just that feeling of a little bit of control. I know for so many people with weight, you almost get to the point where you think, this is just happening on its own. It's going up. So it's nice to know you can have some sort of control and just say, no, you know, I'm just going to take a small break, you know. And the key concept in Eat, Stop, Eat is it's not, we really do not want people to become sort of obsessive. So what I don't want people to think is, well, you know, Brad thinks that a brief 24-hour fast is a good idea. I may as well do 84 hours, right? And so, but just the idea that it can be relaxed. It can be a 24-hour break from food. You got things back under control. Go on eating as you normally would. Everything's fine.
This is such great information. I'm so excited about having Brad Pilon here. We're going to take a short break. And when we come back, I can tell Jessica has a pressing question.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
Back from break, we're interviewing author Brad Pilon. He's written Eat, Stop, Eat, which is the original book on using flexible intermittent fasting for weight loss. Jessica's been wanting to ask a question, so I'm turning it over to you, girl.
Okay, so what if I'm not worried about losing weight, but I am worried about losing muscle mass? Is that a concern?
So my research was all done on the period of fasting of about 12 hours to 72 hours, or about 3 days. And in that range, we never found any changes in lean mass, which is not just muscle, but including your organs. So assuming your organs aren't growing, we make the assumption that you're also not losing muscle. But just to be sure, because for a lot of people, people follow Eat, Stop, Eat much longer than a typical study would last, I really recommend that people also take part in some form of resistance training. And what I found is in any study on long-term low-calorie diets, even very low-calorie diets, I mean, far lower than I'd ever recommend, the use of resistance training along with the low-calorie diet preserves muscle mass. So it's kind of a sort of a double protection, right? We know that short periods of fasting aren't going to have an effect, but just to be sure over a long time, I'm also asking your resistance training to maintain the muscle mass you do have.
I was really intrigued with the research on fasting with longevity.
Mm-hmm.
Can you touch on that?
Yeah, so a long time, actually, even before sort of we started looking at fasting for weight loss, we started looking at the effect of caloric intake or how much you ate on how long you lived. And this research started in animals, specifically mice and rats, with really good results. We saw that, wow, if you took back slightly the amount of food that a rat would normally eat, just on its own free will, they would actually live longer. Then what happened was this effect happened in other animals. And then we realized, wow, it's even happening now in primates, monkeys, that sort of thing, that are very close to humans. Combined with that, so we have sort of evidence from the animal world that just sort of eating slightly less does have an effect on possibly prolonging your lifespan. We have all this data about the health benefits in terms of markers of health, whether it's cardiovascular disease or diabetes, seem to be improved or at least slowed by eating slightly less than we'd like to eat. The problem for humans is that nobody likes eating slightly less than we like to eat.
Right.
It's not something you'd want to do. I mean, if I had to trade off 4 or 5 years at the end of my life for not enjoying really good food for the next 40 years, I probably wouldn't make that trade. But what we've recently discovered is that the idea of fasting seems to have the same effect as the idea of just eating less all the time. So it doesn't seem to matter how much you eat on a daily basis. We're looking at sort of a chronic bank account style balance. As long as over the course of weeks, you're eating slightly less than you maybe would have wanted to if you were just free eating, you may be reaping the same benefits that they're finding in research in these animal models.
So basically, if you take what you normally would have had in 24 hours, let's say it's 2,000 calories, and you really consider that you've just had that much less in a week. So long term, you're really eating less calories overall. So instead of having to eat a little bit less every day, you just kind of do it in one day.
Exactly. So you're getting the same effect as you would from dieting, only without really dieting. You're taking some time off from eating once in a while. But after that, it's not the stress. There's no counting. It's just sort of eating responsibly, right? So you can't fast for 24 hours and then demolish your birthday cake by yourself. It's probably counterproductive. But you can fast, eat responsibly, and enjoy the foods you eat and find a really nice balance in between.
So that's actually really important, that you don't kind of eat excess right before or go crazy right after the fast.
Exactly. The main thing I find is that if you're well prepared, if you're open to the idea of fasting, you've read the book, you're cool with the research behind it, then you're probably not going to eat too much before your fast. I find that people kind of get anxiety and panic and want to do something crazy, like have a protein shake right before they fast and then maybe a quick meal as well. And then the same people, when they're done their fast, try to make up for some of the calories they lost in case they were starving their body or something like that. But if you just sort of realize, okay, fasting is not a big deal, and I'm going to pretend, as soon as I'm done my fast at 10 a.m. or 11 a.m., I just pretend the fast never happened and just go on eating the way I normally would. If I happen to be, for some reason, just a little bit more hungry that day, it wasn't the best fast or something like that, then that's when you have to be responsible and say, okay, well, if I didn't fast and I was this hungry today, I wouldn't go pig out because I'm trying to be good. So there's no reason to do it since, even though I did fast. It's just a little bit of responsibility. It's kind of a give or take, right? Fasting works really well, but it's not going to do it all for you. You still got to kind of play your part.
I think I personally would love to hear any advice you would give to someone to do this program and really succeed. Are there any tips?
Yeah, the main thing is realizing that dieting and losing weight does not have to be complicated. I'm not saying it's easy, but it doesn't have to be complicated. So a lot of the rules that we're following or trying to follow or exposed to in newspapers and magazines and online, etc., we have to look at them and go, okay, you know, does this really fit in my lifestyle? Because if it does, great. You know, if I never really liked carbs in the first place and someone tells me eat low carb and I think, well, I don't like them anyway, maybe I'll lower them a bit, fine. But if you're someone who really loves a certain type of food and a diet says don't eat it, you're probably not setting yourself up for success long term. So the best thing to do is find a style of eating you really enjoy, that you're comfortable with, then add in the fasting, and then just try to stay responsible with what you're eating and try to almost avoid adding in extra rules just for the sake of adding in extra rules. People who do that are the people who seem to have the most long-term success with Eat Stop Eat. They just sort of adopted fasting, didn't sort of, you know, build up fasting to be some sort of miracle or magic, but adopted it into their lifestyle, dropped some of the extra stress they had about their food and their eating, and just sort of went with it. And they're the ones who not only got down in weight, but have maintained for, book's been out for 3.5 years now, for over 3 years.
You know, what's interesting about that is I've been really good about that. But I've also noticed if, you know, a vacation's coming up and I'd really like to drop 5 or 6 pounds in a week, it's so easy to just eat really extra sensible, and then adding in the fast, I lose so much more weight so easily than when I'm just trying to eat sensibly.
And that's a great point. For some people who have problems with even the concept of dieting for 6 or 8 weeks, if you're fasting, let's say twice a week, it really means you've broken up your eating into chunks of 3 or 4 days of eating. So once you're done a fast, you can look at a 3-day period and go, I'm going to do really well during that 3-day period. And then if you make it through, you did awesome. And then you have another fast. At the end of that fast, you should feel good. You say, okay, I just did a 24-hour fast. That's great. And then you can look again, go, now I've got 3 or 4 days again where I'm going to try to eat really clean. It kind of breaks things up, allows you to start new. So if you did have a bad 3-day chunk, you can say, okay, that we're going to write that weekend off.
I can buy new Mercedes with all the money I'm going to save on food.
That's
too.
True.
Yeah. It's actually surprising. You do true. Save a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if you're someone who, like salespeople, people who spend a lot of time in their car and jump from place to place. Man, it adds up when you're just grabbing little snacks here and there.
Sure. Yeah. Food's expensive.
Yeah, it is.
And you save so much time with all the time that you're not spending preparing food.
Yes.
Yep. Or cleaning the kitchen. That's my big one.
Yes. Right? My husband knows that Mondays he's in charge of feeding the kids. I just don't even go in the kitchen if I can help it.
Yeah, no, it's great. I find that, you know what I do? It's kind of cheating, but I bake with my kids when I'm fasting. Because that way the chocolate chips end up in the muffins and not in my mouth, right? So, and if I'm not...
That
if
sounds
I'm,
torturous to me.
It,
I don't
yeah.
know.
You think so. But you, I actually, for some reason, like I can do it. And it's just when, if I'm just trying to be good, I'm going to have some of that cookie batter. But if I'm fasting, I'm like, no, I'm fasting. So right. I find it in certain spots, it adds a little bit of strength, right? I mean, I'm never going to go to a wedding and say I'm fasting because I'm not passing up on that food. But there are some instances where I'm like... I can use this to my advantage, right? I can bake with my little girl, but at the same time, I'm not going to be eating all the batter, right? So,
well, I find the longer I've been doing the fast, it's not that hard. I've gone grocery shopping when I'm fasting. I have cooked the kids a meal. I have baked, and it's not that hard. Although I'm curious to know, Brad, I have noticed that some days I'll go into a fast and it's just so easy. Yesterday was easy. I barely thought about food. When I woke up this morning, which was 24 hours later, I wasn't even hungry. I almost forgot, oh yeah, I get to eat now.
Yep,
whereas other days, like last week, I don't know what the difference was. For some reason, the fast was harder for me. I was thinking about food more. I was physically a little bit lower, so maybe my body was fighting something. But
I think with the temperatures low, you want to eat more. Like lately, all I want to do is eat because it's been sub-zero here. And you're in Canada, right, Brad?
So oh yeah, it's
probably
really
not warm up there either.
No, not at all. Yeah. No, I'm hiding from it right now.
Do you have any theories of why sometimes it's harder than others?
Yep. I think it's a lot of external cues. Hunger is such a complex thing. It has so much to do with, again, habits and then even marketing and things you're exposed to that I don't think we'll ever be able to really pinpoint what makes us – hungry is the wrong word – what makes us desire food. So just like on a day where if you've never fasted, you're obviously going to have days where you had really good days of eating and other days where you're like, I cannot kick this craving. Like I'm about to go buy myself a big thing of Nutella and eat the whole thing. And we have these days regardless. So there'd be no reason to think that there'd be any different with fasts, right? You're going to have fasts that are just amazing. And then every once in a while, you're going to have a fast where you're like, I hate Brad Pilon. Right? There's going to be days.
Oh, so. I never thought that.
I don't know. I'm going to print up a dot board right now, I think.
Yeah, I can't think picture in a dot board.
Okay, but so yeah, I want to know if you disagree with this, because especially when I first started, when I had moments that were really hard, something that I did was I'm really careful about not having any form of chemicals. Like I wouldn't have diet soda because I wouldn't have the aspartame. And I won't chew like much chewing gum because of the artificial sweeteners. But I do have, it's a xylitol-based chewing gum, 100% xylitol, which is just a sugar alcohol, non-caloric. So I've had like a piece of gum when I just really thought I was going to lose it. And it helped me. I try not to do that as a habit. What do you think about that?
Oh, I have absolutely no problems with that. I mean, really what I want people to do is succeed. I want, instead of the, you know, let's face it, if you're trying to diet for 6 months, there's going to be a pretty high chance that by the end of it, you're not going to feel like you really won, right? Whereas I want people to come out of a 24-hour fast being like, holy, you know, I did a 24-hour fast, which means if it takes a piece of gum or a xylitol mint with 2 calories to get you through it.
I've done that too.
It's not that large of a deal, right? So
yeah, I agree.
I would much rather you do that than come out of it go like, holy cow, I didn't eat for 24 hours. And then what I want people to do is then take from that, and then on the days where they're not fasting and they're eating normally, you know, if all of a sudden they decide I've had lunch, might have a snack, you're like, I don't need a snack, you know, I can go to dinner. I can do 2 hours till dinner if I can do a 24-hour fast, right? So I want people to sort of adopt it that way. So I want to be more success-based. Yeah, so if it takes a piece of gum or two, a mint, you know, an extra coffee that day, to be successful, I'm fine with it.
I used to have panic anxiety about when my next meal would be. I always had to know. I had this feeling that like I couldn't go the more than 4 hours without eating. And since I've been fasting, it's no big deal. You know, I try to eat regularly throughout the day. I find my metabolism's best, but it's not so much a concern if I'm not sure where my next meal is coming from.
When I was in university, my girlfriend, then wife now, used to carry around protein bars in her purse because if I didn't eat every 2 hours, I'd literally get cranky. Yeah. So now you realize how psychological that was.
Yes.
Because she's looking at me going like, you used to make me carry stuff around and now you don't eat for 24 hours and you're fine. I'm like, sorry. Like, so a lot of just getting used to it is just letting go of, we have a lot of preconditioned learning that we've been exposed to, especially if you're in the health industry, about how we're supposed to eat. And it takes a little bit to let go of that, right? And sort of relax and realize, okay, if I don't have 200 grams of protein during a 24-hour period, I'm not losing muscle. And letting go of that, it takes a bit, right? It does take a while for you to be like, okay, look, I've been doing this for a while now. Nothing's wrong. You know, it's just sort of reconditioning yourself to accept these ideas.
Well, and I agree. When I complete a fast, I really feel very proud of myself. I not only like the way I look and feel, but
Jennifer,
I'm proud.
You tell us all the time. I fasted today, Mike. That's good, Jennifer.
It is a good feeling, though. You do have a feeling of it's a nice, quick sense of accomplishment. And it kind of just reminds you that really there is no relationship with food, right? Like if you can make food can make you happy, you can't make food happy back. It's not really a relationship.
Right.
It's more just an appetite. It's good to know that you do have control over it and be like, I can go 24 hours without you if I want to. Ha.
Right. Ha. Yeah.
Take that food.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Brad, I want to help our listeners know how they can find out more about you. I know that the book itself can, the information about the book and the it's a downloadable book. Is that how
Correct.
You say it?
Yep.
It's at www.eatstopeat.com.
Perfect. Yep.
You can also go to www.bradpilon.com to learn more about Brad. Mm-hmm. And just for listeners who are interested, I know you have a new second book, your newest book. It's called How Much Protein, and it answers the question, how much protein do I need to eat to gain muscle?
Right.
And
that was written for the more fitness bodybuilder type crowd who that was their main concern over and over with Eat Stop Eat was they were still thinking, okay, well, you know, I have this one thing, protein, I have to have a ton of in order to gain muscle. And I started thinking, I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, so I always think I need more protein.
Yep, I looked into it
and
wrote up my results in another book just to kind of answer that.
You have to pick it up.
Well, and all you have to do is do an image Google on Brad Pilon and you'll see that, you know, you want to look like him.
That's what I hear.
I want to look like anyone except me. So.
You want to look like, you have some nice abs, Mike, but you want to check out Brad Pilon. So it's www.truthaboutprotein.com if you want to hear more about that.
Yeah.
Something else I really liked when I first went to your site, you could sign up for an email, email of the day. It was like 12 days or so of emails. Mm-hmm. And you kind of summarized some of the research. And that was really helpful for getting started.
Oh, good. I'm glad. My thought with Eat Stop Eat, I mean, really what to do, I could tell everybody in two sentences, which is, well, we've already done that, right? Fast for 24 hours once or twice a week and you're well on your way. I find that most people want to know the hows and whys behind it. And that's where the emails, the book, everything else comes in. It's just explaining it more to people. I think that it helps a lot with dieting and just changing the way you eat just by learning more and feeling more and more relaxed with it.
So once I start fasting, if I get in trouble, can I call you up in the middle of the night and say, Brad, help?
Oh, well, you've got experience fasted there with you, so I'm sure you can call me.
Oh, great. Thank you. You can call me in the middle of the night.
There you go. 2 a.m. You know? I'm hungry.
What else is new? Well, thank you so much, Brad Pilon. We really appreciate you taking your time, and this has been excellent. I can't wait to get feedback from our listeners and see who's out there fasting.
Well, perfect. Thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
You too.
Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.